When Zhanna Litinskaya was conducting interviews for Centrope in Chisinau in July 2004, she mentioned to friends in the Jewish community that she was hoping to interview Theodor Magder, the historian and professor of literature. Zhanna wanted to know if she could find him at home, as he was already well into his 80s. They told her, at home? He's still working. In fact, he's head of our Jewish community, and you'll be lucky to get a half an hour with him. Zhanna did reach Dr. Magder by phone, and he did indeed say, 30 minutes, no more. Zhanna met with Theodor Magder in a book-lined office in the Jewish library, and after speaking for 2 hours, he said, let's do this again tomorrow. Which they did. And the day after. And as the sun was setting on that third July afternoon, Dr. Magder said, let's go for a walk in the park. These are excerpts from their conversation.
My parents, Solomon and Sima, were married in Yashi, and I was born in 1921. I had a younger brother, but I'm afraid he died very young, and that left me an only child. Jewishly, Chisinau may have been a mostly religious town, but not in my family. My father was an atheist. He was a successful attorney, but he supported Jewish organizations, and he even founded the Jewish sports team. And of course, I had my Brit Milah and a Bar Mitzvah. So we were Jewish atheists, you might say. My mother didn't work. She was a classically trained pianist. My parents would speak Romanian and Yiddish with each other, and in school, I learned Romanian, German, and French. None of us knew even a word of Russian. By the time I was born in 1921, the border had moved. Chisinau was now a part of Romania. And when I was young, I didn't really see much anti-Semitism. But by the time I was a teenager in 1936, you could really feel it everywhere. One government after another in Romania became more and more anti-Semitic and pro-fascist. When I graduated high school in 1939, I went to Bucharest to take the entrance exam for medical school. I was always the top student in my classes, but they let me know Jews weren't going to get in. I was devastated. And there I was, walking around Bucharest in a huge depression, when I found myself in front of the Faculty of Literature. That's it, I thought. Since my other great love was literature, I made my decision on the spot. Just as important, they accepted me. I spent a year in Bucharest studying, and in June 1940, I returned home for holidays. That was when, overnight, Romania was forced to give up the province of Bessarabia, and Soviet troops streamed into Chisinau. My father, who was by then 53, found himself conscripted into the Romanian army, and he was cut off from us. His world completely collapsed. He had hopes of a democratic, decent Romania, but now he was living in a fascist, anti-Semitic state with his family in the Soviet Union. He killed himself. A family friend told me, but I decided not to tell my mother. Not yet. I thought, not yet. Now I was the only breadwinner in our small family, and I was determined to be a professor of literature. Until the borders moved, it had been illegal to study in Russian. Now it was forbidden to study in Romanian. so I poured myself into learning Russian. In my first literature class, I sat beside a pretty girl, and in almost no time, we fell in love. Her name was Asia Schnellman, and her father was a doctor. Now, on Saturday, the 21st of June, 1941, I was out with my classmates. We'd all just passed our summer exams, and we were dancing, singing, and drinking wine. I returned home at 1 o'clock in the morning and threw myself onto the bed. At 5 a.m., we woke to the roar of bombing. It was war. Germany and Romania were attacking the Soviet Union. I knew right away that Jews had to flee. I made Mama promise that she would go with Asia's family. They left in evacuation and headed east, and immediately I was recruited into the Soviet army. But just before I reported for duty, I grabbed my college record book and student ID, the most valuable things I owned. Then we marched off, retreating from the approaching Germans and Romanians. In every town when our unit was given time off, I found the local pedagogical college and asked the local lecturers to be my examiners, because our course of study was standardized all over the student union. I pleaded with them to listen to me and read my papers and mark my record book. I'm sure they thought I was crazy, but they couldn't turn down a 20-year-old kid in uniform who might be killed at any moment. I think you can tell I was a dedicated student. In late 1941, all Bessarabians, including me, were demobilized. The Soviet authorities didn't trust its new citizens to fight in the Red Army. I was infuriated, but it probably saved my life. I spent months traveling to Krasnodar in Russia, 1,500 kilometers from home, because Asia told me that's where they were. And I found them. We crossed the Caspian Sea in a rickety old ship with hundreds of others crowding every centimeter of deck space. Then a train to Uzbekistan and on to Bukhara, 3,500 kilometers from home. The Uzbeks had never met people like us. We were like from a different planet. In the fall of 1942, I enrolled in the Russian faculty of the Uzbek Pedagogical College, and I worked as a German teacher. Asia, me, my mother, and Asia's family all lived in one room, lined up for hours to get food and barely had enough to eat. In late 1943, my mother fell ill, and with no medicine at all to help her, she died. I never told her what happened to my father. She never lost hope of seeing him again. Asia and I became husband and wife. She was all I had left in the world. In 1944, we returned to Chisinau. Asia studied and became an economist, and I went to work for a state news agency where I became head of the foreign department and remained there for 29 years. Until, that is, our son put in an application to emigrate to Israel in 1973. Everyone in our family was fired, but I found a job doing research and writing for a giant industrial conglomerate. In time, I created a museum on industry. When Moldova became an independent country in 1991, I was asked to join the federal government. I told them I was already 70 years old and had only recently lost my beloved Asia. All the more reason to get to work, they told me. I'm proud to say that I was instrumental in Moldova opening relations with Israel. And when I went on the official delegation, I finally got to see my son again, after 18 years. When the government changed in 2001 and I turned 80, I stepped down, but was immediately drafted to become chairman of our Jewish community. And that is what I'm doing now, at the age of 83. We may be just a small community, but it is a lively one, and even a noisy one. And in this last job of mine, I will do whatever I can to bring Jewish life back and work to see that young Jews, especially, will know of our heritage and even build for the future.
The story of Theodor Magder is read for us by Steve First in London.